some of the Ortiz family. I don't know how many's coming up with you. Take your Bible, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Let's stand to read God's Word tonight. Ephesians chapter 6, beginning of verse 1. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service, as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether he be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also is in heaven, neither is there respect of person with him. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mysteries of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. May God have the blessing on the Word of God, as He always does. You may be seated. Father, we come to you tonight begging you wisdom. Lord, we live in a world of craziness, a world of problems and heartaches that we just can't even understand. I mean, it just boggles our mind. Lord God, you promised to be with us, and we thank you for that promise. Lord, would you please do a great work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.
Lock the pick. Pick down.
We're good.
Pick down. There is a place somewhere below I've heard and read about. And they say that people, when they go, can never come back out. A place of torment for lost souls who turn the Lord away. They say the fire burns all night because there is no day. Lord, apply His precious blood and cleanse me from all sin. He lit a spark that satisfied my hungry soul's desire. That mighty flame that's burning now will keep me from the fire. But I've escaped that awful place when Jesus saved my soul. And not one hair upon my head will into that place go. No, I don't have to worry since the Savior took my part. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart. The only fire I'll ever feel is burning in my heart.
I love good singing. I love bad singing. I just like it all. As long as it doesn't sound like rock and roll and country western, amen, I'll be all right, amen. Don't bring it into church. Don't belong in the church. Don't belong in the church. My wife and I went out to eat today with Tristan and Madison and Rosie, and when I was coming around the corner, this lady walks up and she says, are you Pastor? I said, sure. Yeah. My kids came to church today and with their family. And they just loved it. They just, and the friendliness of your people, and they loved you and your church, and on and on and on. And anyway, they said, we heard what you feel about that kind of foolish music in church. I said, that's right. I said, the Bible says that we come into a sanctuary. I'm not talking about something that you can't walk in and run in. Shout and hallelujah. I'm talking about a place that we can come, and it's a sanctuary for us. We come out of the world and come to the church. And I explained that to her, and she said, well, we agree on that. We're going to come and see you. We're going to check you out. So, there are people out there that want to have a church that have the right kind of music. And they want a church that has the right kind of preaching. Oh, I got so upset yesterday at that funeral when that preacher got up and read out of something. I don't know if the Reader Digest thing or whatever, but he says, and we will dwell in the house as long as we live. That's a lie for the pit of hell, man. That's a big deal, man. I want to live forever in the house of God, amen. So, okay, I'll settle down. All right. Yeah. Then I want to talk to you about, and I want to preach to you on Ephesians chapter 6. In Ephesians chapter 6, we have four basic, I want to say spears or prongs, or four positions that the devil attacks on the Christian. And hence, when he attacks us Christians, he attacks on our home. I'm concerned for the home because as the home goes, that's how the church will go. You're having a difficulty at your home, you have a difficulty at church, you bring it in here, amen. You bring it in the sanctuary. This is supposed to be a place that we can come and feel at peace, and we can rejoice and we can worship God in. But Satan has his way to put his ugly tentacles into our church, and we certainly don't want that. Amen? So I pray in the power of Jesus, in the blood of Jesus Christ, Satan to stay away from us. We'll get something done tonight. The Bible says there are principalities and powers and potentates and perilous places that Satan uses to destroy the peace of our home. I don't know, but there's just something about peace in the home. There's just something about walking into a home that people love each other and they're laughing and sitting around the table. I know most of you don't sit around the table anymore. You go to McDonald's and Burger King and wherever else you have your dinner. But I'm going to tell you something. It used to be we sat around the home. I found out more things going on in my son's lives sitting at the supper table than any other time I ever talked to him. Amen. They just kind of slip and let their guard down and say, "Yeah, you let it all." And one of the other ones says, "Yeah, tell Dad that. That's good. Yeah, all right." Also, not only are there four spearheads or prongs or attacks of Satan, also, there are anchors of the Word of God we can, by faith, apply. Verse 16 tells us about how we can win the battle in our homes. If you have a happy home, you are very fortunate today. If you have a home that lacks criticism and lacks yelling and lacks arguing, you are a blessed people. And may I encourage you daddies who are the head of the home to certainly try everything you can to keep from that criticism and yelling and arguing in the home. First of all, the anchor of righteousness and respect and responsibility and responsiveness helps us in our home. First of all, righteousness. Righteousness should rule in our homes. Righteousness means the living godly, speaking godly, thinking godly. That ought to rule in your home. Respect. You ought to respect children. Obey your parents and the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother. There ought to be respect there. They might not always be right, but I'll guarantee you they're trying everything they can. If I know your mommy and daddy, trying everything they can to get you through one more day. Amen. And they're afraid of Satan. And we ought to fear Satan. They're afraid of the things that he's going to get you in a position that you'll compromise your morality, compromise your standings of life. And your parents are going to try everything they can. If they're members of this church, they're going to try everything they can to guide you down that straight and narrow way. And when you're going straight, sometimes it's kind of hard to go straight, because going straight means you got to look straight ahead. You can't be looking to your left or to your right. You got to go straight ahead. Secondly, it's narrow. Sometimes you blister, amen. Sometimes it rubs you pretty hard. And sometimes there's kids at school who want to get you to go the wrong way and want you to disrespect your parents and want to go against the responsibility you have as a Christian. You're no more a Christian than I am, and I'm no more a Christian than you are. Get that. Get it straight. The only difference between you and me, God's called me to be the pastor, and you'd be called the member of this church. You say, but I'm only 15. I'm only 12. You're still a member of this church. And you should walk a godly life. Let me tell you something. You'll never be... I've never heard a teenager ever say, you know, I wished I wouldn't have lived like that when I was in high school. I wish I wouldn't have lived a godly life. But I've sure heard a lot of kids in high school say, "Boy, I wish I wouldn't have done that, and I wish I'd have done that, and I wouldn't have done that to her, done that to him, and this and that and this." There's a lot of grief, a lot of misfortune when those things happen. So, first of all, we ought to live righteously. We ought to be careful what we laugh at. We ought to be careful what we look at. We ought to be careful what we hear. You say, oh, preacher, I've heard this before. Well, I just thought you ought to hear it again. I think you ought to just be reminded constantly. Just constantly reminded of, hey, Satan is out there to plummet you. He's out there to ruin you. He's out there to keep you from serving God. And anything he can get to get your eyes off Jesus Christ, he'll try it. Secondly, not only righteousness, but respect. Respect for others. I had a young pastor, he came to our church, and he was explaining some things, and he just took our guys along. He said, guys, he said, I want you to think of this. If you date, and if your parents allow you to date, just think that somebody else may be dating your wife-to-be. How do you want him to treat her is the way you ought to treat that young lady you're with tonight. I tell you what, Brother Rick, that was some great advice to me. That's some great advice. You know, there's guys that think they got to be pawing all over their girlfriend and kissing them and smooching them and everything else. You do that to my wife, I'll pound a fire out of you. I don't care if you are bigger than I am. I'm going to hurt you. You say, well, I'm going to hurt you worse. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to get a few licks in there. Don't mess with my wife. That's mine. I don't want nobody touching her like that. That's a special gift. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing for her price far above rubies. Leave him ruby alone. So, young man, let me encourage you to never do anything to that young lady that you wouldn't want some other guy doing it to your future wife. That's good advice, amen? It's good advice. Best thing to do is never be alone. Best thing to do, you say, but why? Well, if you're that stupid, then you're stupid. And you know what stupid is? Stupid does, amen? Number three, responsiveness. This anchor of responsiveness, how you respond. I love guys when you just mention to them and they're responsive to that and they go and do the thing. Amen. I'll guarantee you, you're the kind of guy I want to hire. Well, I'll get around to when I can. Boy, I remember one time, I know I've told this before, I want to tell it again. I was, my dad and mom had gone to a political deal and he went to Washington, D.C. And while he was gone, I was head of the farm. I was about 17 years old and stayed out the night before, pretty late, came home, and I had hay to bale. And I thought, well, I'll wait. Now, if you're a farm boy, you know you can't wait on the hay. When it's ready to do it, you better bale the hay, because there's always rain coming, always something coming. And my sister said, Sheldon, don't you think you ought to bale it? I said, shut up. Oh, there you go. There you go. That's not too very good. Not much respect there. I said, I'll do it when I want to do it. And she said, yeah, but what if it rains? Boy, that right there. And that back in the early 60s, we didn't have apps on our phones. In fact, the only phone we had was hanging in the house, and you had to crank it like this and go, hello? And you had about five other old ladies on there listening to what you're going to tell you. Amen. Party line, they called it. So I looked out, and sure enough, in the west, it was coming. I got on that tractor, and the stinking baler would not tie knots. How many know what I'm talking about? Yeah, some of you farm boys know it. So I had to get my sister Lois, who is the worst driver in the world. She's one of these girls, you know, big old John Deere tractor. She's one of them that she doesn't ease that clutch, and she goes, whoop, and you're off. Boy, she about knocked me off. I don't know how many times. But I had to ride to Baylor, all that chaff and everything going. If I would have just done what I was supposed to do. Yeah, that's responsiveness. You know, a lot of things have happened in my life, taught me a few things. A lot of things in your life that should have taught you some things. Did you know that if you turn your cell phone off, it won't ring during the service? That's all right. I was at a big meeting one time. Mine went off. And there's no way you can hide it. No. And I just told them to turn their phones off. Mine went off. But you know, in our lives, we have responsiveness that not has to be due. And we learn these things. And, you know, we ought to be taught just about once or twice, and then we ought to catch on. Amen? And the responsiveness. And the fourth one is responsibility. You see something, it's your responsibility. God put something in front of you, you take that as your responsibility. Boy, we're looking for guys like that to work. We're looking for guys that pick stuff up and things that are not just sitting just right, to set them up, get them right. Man, I tell you, a lot of accidents happen in companies by people that see something. They just walk away, or they don't write it up. They don't say a couple of weeks. I don't know who did it, but this is a responsibility, all right? I was in the nursery 3, toddler 2, and someone somehow had broke the plug-in deal, plastic plug-in. They had broke it. And so what'd they do? They taped a piece of paper over it. I don't know how long it was there. I was walking through. I look at stuff around here. I was walking through and I seen that. I said, good night. I went down to East, got a new cover, put it on there. Amen. You know what that is? That's any of our responsibility. You know? It's any of our responsibility. It's this responsibility that we have. We are. Let me just say this. We don't live righteously. We should live with respect. Respect for each other. Respect for each other's feelings. Respect for each other's needs. Respect for our parents. Respect for our children. Oh, yeah. Hey, you know, I had a dream the other night. I had a dream. And I dreamed that I got after one of my boys from doing something that they did not do. And I came to him, I said, I am so sorry. And I woke up, I don't know what that was, but I woke up. You ever have a green dream like that and you wake up? Yeah. It's a responsibility for us parents to, you know, let our children know that we do make a mistake. But bless God, I'll tell you one thing. I used to tell my boys, I may make a mistake, but I tell you what, I try my hardest to do everything I can to raise you boys to be men. God called you to be a preacher. God called you to be a police officer. God called you to be a whatever. My job is to make a man out of you. My job is to teach you everything I can for this life that you're coming into. Respect. Responsiveness. About time some of us just write it down and do it. I saw a deal the other day. It said, my wife told me to fix something 6 months ago. I'll get to it. Then we go to responsibility, and I'll leave that one alone. The second anchor we have is the anchor of love. You know, there's a lot of tasks we perform out of love for the Savior and for others. You really love somebody? You really love them? Do you have that desire to say, Lord, I want you to know I'm doing this because I love you. How can I do less than give him my best and live for all time for him? The third anchor is others. There's a lot of others, especially in our church. There's a lot of people that are in need. I know there's some families now. Their husband or their children are gone that used to do a lot of work. Now they're gone. Hey, others. What's going on? I mean, I don't just say, hey, if you need something, you get a hold of me. I mean that. Because that is a part of the Christian life. That's a part of our church that we say, hey, can I help you? Don't be embarrassed. Say, hey, can you help me? Man, I've been a lot of times I've needed help, and I call people, and they come and help me. But you know what? If it's good for the goose, it's good for the gander. If I ask for help, then I should be able to help you when you ask for help. I'm concerned for you. We ought to be concerned for each other. I wish somebody would help me with this speaker system right now. Our Sunday school class should be built around a group of people that we help each other. We find out, we see, every Sunday morning at my Sunday school, I say, okay, what'd you do this week? You know, one guy said this morning, I took care of him. Well, him is about a couple-week-old boy. So he had his hands full. You hear that thundering outside? We ought to help others on our bus route. Hey, we got some people around here that need some help, need some encouragement. I went to a graduation on Friday. One of our bus kids had a graduation, and I went, and boy, they just couldn't believe it. They're so fired up about it. Then yesterday afternoon, I've been up to Shelby. I just ran. Thank God for that 80-mile-an-hour. How many like that? Raise your hand. Yeah, I know some of you want 100, but 80's fine. All right. I ran up there and went to that funeral, came back. One of our little girls and one of our bus girls are having a birthday party yesterday. And she said, Pastor, you're here! Yeah, I'm here. And I said, Jamie, I love you. Happy birthday. You know, they need that. I don't need that. They need that. And then I think that we ought to anchor the anchor that we have to battle the world. The fourth anchor is the dwelling deep in our salvation. Know you're saved. No, you're saved. Without question. I know I'm saved. I know I'm saved. Because once I know I'm saved, I can anchor in. When the problems come, when the storms come, when the headaches come, when the problems of life come, and they will, and if they haven't, they'll be there. I have salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Dwelling deep. Not only salvation of the body, but also soul, also service, and also our sanctification. Sanctification means I have willingly set my body apart. I will not do certain things in this world. I will not do certain things. I will not say certain things because this is a sanctified or set aside body. I can't do that. There's no way I can. Try that gain again, brother. Wiggle it. Do something. And I want you to also look at the respect. The respect that we have is that children respect your parents. If you just learn that, if you just learn to respect your parents, that's the greatest tribute of a child to his parents. Show respect. I remember when I was growing up, back in the 50s and 60s, they used to say, hey, how's your old man doing? Well, I'd climb out of the window of my car. Had a guy say that about my daddy. But I love my dad. And you won't say nothing about Claire Shear. He's an honorable man, hard-working man, hardest working man I ever met in my life. Don't you ever say that about my mama. She's an old lady. I think if we just get a hold of this respect to the parents, and my wife, bless her heart, my dad and I were out golfing one day when I used to golf. We got up every Monday morning. And we'd just been married. And he said this. He said, "You know, you got the pick of the litter." That's what he said. He said, "Don't you dare tell that." But he said, "I never had trouble with her. She always respected me." One day I asked Marcia, I came home, of course, I told her about what her dad said. I know I wasn't supposed to, but too bad. And this is what she said: "Honey, I never wanted to destroy my daddy's ministry." He was a Baptist preacher. "I didn't want to do anything that would cause him to fail." Boy, I'll tell you what, boys and girls, if you can get that to point in your life, you'll stop the principalities. You'll stop the powers. You'll stop the potentates. You'll stop the perilous places in your life when Satan comes to destroy you, when you show great respect to your parents. Parents, secondly, I respect your children. I've seen some men that were tremendous with dog and terrible with their children. They treat their dog, they treat their children worse than they treat their hunting dog. They buy the dog the best hunting, best food. Make sure everything was just right. I think the Bible says that you ought to be careful about your pets you have. The Bible says you ought to take good care of them. And I think that's no more than right. If you can't take good care of them, don't have them. Man, I'm finding out my house. Old Spikey thinks he runs my house. Not thinks, he does. But a parent ought to have respect for their child. I heard one man say, "I'd never do that to my dog." I said, "Well, then why are you doing it to your kid? You're yelling at him all the time. Yelling, yelling, yelling." When you yell, you've lost the battle. Because you've lost control. Respect the child. Thirdly, I think we ought to respect God and country. Romans chapter 13 tells us that. I know some crazy stuff going on. Pray. Pray does better than shouting, amen. I think also the respect of property rights. You ought to take good care of things, man. I come to the church and stuff is laying around and stuff kicked around, doors are kicked, and I'm going, "Good night." Respect property. Don't walk up the wall and put your foot up there and lean up against it. It's just part of it. You go to the bathroom and make a mess, clean it up. This is your house. Respect. And then there's responsiveness. It is said you can tell a lot about a person's character by what he thinks is laughable. How does he respond? An important part of the four R's is developing proper response to various stimulating situations at home. You criticize. You come up to your mother and say, "You know, Dad, I don't like what Dad's doing." You do that. That's criticism. You yell? "I'm not going to do that. I don't want to do that." Oh, give me a break. Go outside. Pitch a tent. Live outside. Get your own blanket. "Well, I don't have any blanket." "Well, then go buy some." "Well, I don't have any. I don't have any money." "Well, go get a job." "I don't like what you just fed us." Hungry people think bitter is sweet, amen. Arguing. Oh, my goodness sakes. Hey, guess who's in all that? Huh? Guess who's in? Satan's in that. Next time you want to spout off, next time you want to yell, say, "Hey, whoa, 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 whoa. This is not what it's supposed to be like." And we have a responsibility. We have individual responsibility. I have a responsibility to myself. I am responsible for me. And if I break something, it's my responsibility to either fix it, or if I can't fix it, find somebody else can fix it, or go to God and have Him take care of it. I have a family responsibility. My name is Shear. Your name is Ortiz. Your name is Parson. You have a family responsibility. You have the Reeves, the Commodores. We have a responsibility of our family. Let's take care of our family. I heard a pastor one time. He had such great love for the bus kids. Anything wrong with that? But he loved the bus kids. Seemed like he loved the bus kids more than he loved his own family. One day his son, a 14-year-old teenage son who played basketball for the junior high, wanted a pair of Michael Jordan shoes. This happened a few years ago. And his dad said, no, can't afford it. A week later, he sees one of the kids on that rides the bus got a brand new pair of Michael Jordan tennis shoes on, playing on the same team. And he said, hey, man, where'd you get it? He said, man, your dad got them for me. I don't know what that was teaching. Hey, you have a responsibility to your family. Bless God for these bus kids. I love these bus kids. I do. But I will tell you, I think it's very important that we treat them all alike. And don't treat them better than your own kids. Treat them the same. And if you do have a little bit more and you want to help out, praise the Lord. I heard a family said, hey, I want to give to the kids to go to camp. But they didn't have enough money for his own kid to go to camp. Well, you got to decipher a few things in your life. And Satan can use those things. Be very careful, parents. There's a church responsibility. Oh, yeah, I went from preaching to meddling. You have a church responsibility. I attend Heritage Baptist Church. And people know I'm the pastor of Heritage Baptist Church. And by the way, they know you go to Heritage Baptist Church. They ought to know you go to Heritage Baptist Church. You ought to be inviting them to come to Heritage Baptist Church. But your mouth and your smutty jokes and your smoking or drinking or chewing or whatever does not represent your responsibility to your church. You say, but preacher, I'm just learning. Okay, got that. But you have a responsibility to this church. You're a member of Heritage Baptist Church. And who you are is what Heritage Baptist Church is. The lowest of all low, people say, that's what Heritage Baptist Church is all about. You say, I don't like that. Well, straighten up then. And we have a community responsibility. What do you do for your community? Brother Rick, I'm very proud of him. He just got on benefits as a chaplain over there, on the pastoral care chaplain. Just went through all that training. I'm proud of him. He's doing something in his community. What are you doing in your community? What is it? What do you do? Well, I go to work and I come home. If everybody did that, how would our community go? You go down to school? Help at the school? Go to the ballpark, help out the ballpark. Now, I'm talking about things that don't contradict your time at Heritage Baptist Church, amen. I'm a chaplain at Cascade County Sheriff's Office. I've been there once in 3 weeks. That was the other day. That was for 1 hour, 1.5 hour. Got filled in and everything and left. You say, but I thought you're a chaplain. Yeah, I am. I tell them, I'm on call. You need me and something bad goes down, I'm here for you. But right now, things are not working out the way I plan they're working out. And so I have to spend more time doing certain things in my life. And I have to know how I budget my time. My first thing in my life is me and God. Second thing in my life is me and Mama. Third thing in my life is me and my family. Fourth thing in my life is my church, my job, whatever you want to call it. That is, and everything else has got to fall in place. I am not going to deny myself and my God. I'm not going to deny my wife and myself. These are priorities. And when it comes to God, of course, I expect as a pastor that that is my main life. When I find out that somebody's sick and somebody needs some help, bless God, I'm going to do everything I can to get there. Though I have to depend on a lot of y'all. And I thank you for that. That should be the way in your life. Get your priorities straight. Your buddy calls you up and takes you for, said, let's go hunting. But you promised your wife you're going to do something. Be a good idea to help your wife. You get all her stuff done. You get under her feet. Finally, she'll say, will you get out of here? But when she's not there to the point that you better take care of that thing. Family means so much. And by the way, what you are at home is what you at church. Your ugliness and your meanness and your sourness and your pouting and all the other junk that's at home, and you're crazy about certain things, upset about things, you bring that to church. When you walk into the sanctuary of this church, that should not come in with you, amen, but it will. Because we're heavy-hearted, and we don't know how to get rid of it. I'll tell you how to get rid of it. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, cleanse us from unrighteousness. Satan has a plan. Y'all know that, right? And he has a plan to destroy you. And if he can destroy you, he can destroy Heritage Baptist Church. If he destroys your family, destroys your home, you're in trouble. You're really in great trouble. May I encourage you that the anchor of love makes reference to the task performed out of love for the Savior and others. I love my Savior, therefore I'm going to do this. I love my Savior even though my husband is not treating me so right now. That's okay. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to do what God told you to do. And some of those rascals are pretty rough. Some of them are pretty ornery. And it's amazing how Proverbs was written to men to warn them about women. So I don't like that. Read your Bible. It said it's better to have a dry morsel than a wife that's, whoo, and I've seen them. You say, but what do? You live like God. And you, when you live like, I heard a lady give a testimony. It was an amazing testimony. She told them about how her husband is treating her. And she went to her pastor and said, Pastor, what should I do? He says, you do what Jesus would do. Did Jesus take things that was not fair? He just kept forgiving people. Father, forgive them so they know not what they do. And here's the deal. Either he'll change or God will kill him. Because God told the woman, what the lady, what she's supposed to do at the home. And gentlemen, if you have a backsliding heifer of a wife, that's what the Bible calls them, so I'll just say what the Bible says. You be the most loving, patient, understanding gentleman that walked on this earth. He said, well, what if it never helps? What if it never helps? You did what Jesus said. You say, preacher, you don't know my dad. He's a raving idiot. Well, why don't you just be quiet and live peaceably and do what Jesus Christ told you to do? What did he say? Obey your parents in the Lord. Now, it comes to the point if your parent tries to get you to do something immoral, that's when we stop, and that's why we call 911. Romans chapter 13 tells us if your husband tries to tell you what, you better be careful. Who knows what's out there today? You be very careful. You say, I don't like that kind of preaching. Well, I don't like that kind of living, okay? And the Bible says we're to protect each other. That's why you got a pastor. Pastor, hey, what do you think I ought to do about that? Let me talk to you about it. Let me have a chance to explain the other side to the man. Or the other side to the lady, with you there with me. I ain't going to go alone. That ain't going to happen. There's some things in our lives that we are responsible for, and our responsibility to our church is great. For the name of Jesus Christ that would be glorified, not slandered. I pray that you'll take Ephesians chapter 6 and just wade through it, and wade through it, and wade through it, and get to the point in your life that you're willing to submit to the authority of the Word of God. The Bible says, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Boy, that changed a lot of marriages. Wives, submit yourself unto your own husband. Your own husband. Worry about some ladies go to work and they're so sweetie to their boss and yes sir, and you get come home and you're a raving maniac when you come home. Husband asks you, well, don't you know I've been working all my Oh yeah. I've heard it. I've seen it. Breaks my heart. You gotta treat your husband better than you treat your boss. If you treat your boss better than you treat your husband, you ought to quit your job. Find another job. Say, how you doing? Children, obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord. God says when you obey in the Lord, it is doing what God said, no matter what they said, you're doing it for God. And he even says it to the servants. Say, obey them. Obey them. Not as a man pleaser, but you obey them. Sweetly obey them. You get a lot of ways. You get through a lot of better ways. When you live by Jesus, when you live by the book, God promises to take care of you. I promise you, if things are going not right at home, and you live by the book, there is a God in heaven that will not forget you. He will not forget you. It will not be void. He will watch and he'll know you. So walk close to God. Father, I pray you'd help us tonight. Lord, there's so much in the Word of God that teaches us how we ought to obey and how we ought to submit and how we ought to do the things that Christ did and how we ought to live a life that's separated from this world. We ought to live a life that's rejoicing. We ought to live a life of singing and praising God. You said even when we praise God, you do great things within us. Lord, please, I beg you today that you'd help us live for you. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe some of you tonight say, you know, preacher, boy, you're preaching right at me. Or some of you say, you know, preacher, I want to be willing to tolerate some stuff. I ought to be willing to not to gripe and complain and yell and argue. I need to get that taken care of. I'll tell you what, our homes are in trouble. And if we could just do a few little things and change a few little things in our attitude in life, God would be glorified. Let's all stand. Nancy, would you play? If you're here tonight and you say, preacher, you know, that's it. I don't know what you're coming for. I'm not going to ask you what you're coming for. Just come on. Fill this old aisle tonight and say, you know what? My God is my helper. You say, well, what will people think? What will people think you're standing there? They already know you. Most of your kids know you. Parents know you. There's about hours to come. Come right now. You just come. Say, you know what, Lord? I'm gonna live the way I should live. No matter what else people are doing, I'm going to live the way I should live. Lord, as we close out this meeting tonight, may Great Falls have a change. Lord, only you can work in our hearts and lives. Only you, Holy Spirit, can prick our hearts and remind us that that's not the way we ought to be doing things. That's not the way we ought to be talking. Not the right kind of attitude, Lord. Help us, Lord Jesus, when that happens, we immediately submit to you and say, God, forgive me and help me not to do that. Lord, all we need is you. And Lord, this old world is a tough old place without having each other to help each other. So Lord, I pray that you'd bless. Lord, thank you for the food we're about to eat. Lord, building number two, thank you for the fellowship. Lord, bring us back safely on Wednesday night. And Lord, I pray for our cantata practice begins. Folks would come, new singers would come in. Lord, be a blessing and help. We love you, Lord. I think of Mrs. Hamilton, Lord God. Would you heal her body and strengthen her, Lord? Give her encouragement. I pray for Viv and her family, Lord, and the troubles that they're having. Please, God, help them. Lord, bless this time. All God's people said, you're dismissed.